Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Show ourselves approved unto God, first man. Need not be ashamed of rightly divided truth. Bless us, O God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives. Share it with others, and this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, God has gone through and basically he said that these people, Israel, Jewish people, they were going to be his chosen. They were going to be his representatives. The world and how people were. And he gave them, Moses, instructions, commandments. And I'm glad they were commandments because I found out, you probably found out too, that if people have too many choices, they have a tendency to be noncommittal.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to get to a point where you have to say, this is a command, this is not a choice. You have to meet them. There's nothing that you can do to get around them. So God gave a perfect law because he was a perfect God. You know, it was given so that people would come to know that they couldn't make it without, we can't make it without God. That's where we come up short. And so my perfect law. You need God in order to be able to deal with you. A lot of people say they can live them, and, you know, they're perfect, but, you know, when we look at them, everybody comes up short of them. So because we can't have them, because we can't deal with them, we need God. But that doesn't negate the fact that we still need order. Every one of us needs order in life. And that's what I love about the Word of God. It's biblical instruction before leaving earth, the Bible. But too many people, they don't want to be disciplined. They don't want to be disciplined. They don't want to be do. They don't want to fall in line. They don't want to obey leadership. They want to do their own thing. And that's what's gotten man in trouble all along, is that he doesn't want to bow down. The Bible calls it discipline. He doesn't want to bow down God and say, God, you are the creator. God, you know what's best for me. But we want to be like the proverb that says, there's a way that right unto man, but the end there, death and destruction. So what we're going to look at tonight is these commandments and see how they're beneficial for us and try to correlate to other things that are beneficial for us if we can start lining up more with the Word of God. So Sheila G, ask you this question. Do you think the majority of people in the United States now know the Ten Commandments?
They know, like, not kill.
Basically.
But not, like, that.
Right.
As I said, everyone would probably say the same very basic thing, but all ten verses come together. To be together all as one, I don't.
So basically, we're picking and choosing which one we want to remember anyway.
I'm killing anybody.
Right.
I'm all
right. Right. So why do you think God, who is an orderly God, wants his people to be orderly?
Because he is orderly. That's that. If you get to the plan, that's the thing all over. We don't want them to behave and be orderly for us, but it's best for them. They have to live their life in this world. And if it's God, he knew that we were going to have to be devils. And if we didn't have that order and he didn't give us that structure, we would fall on the wayside.
Right. So structure is important, but why do people not like order?
Because they think, and they want to do it their own way. They think that we know more than God does. And we want to do it our own way. We want to do what we feel like.
Yeah.
That's really what we're supposed to do.
Okay. So God knows what's best for us, and God gave us these commandments.
No. Again, he gave it to us so that he can provide us direction. Help us to protect us from ourselves as well as from others.
To protect us from ourselves. Because we get ourselves in a whole lot of trouble.
Yes.
And so when we look at these commandments, the first four, it looks like they deal with our relationship with God. And then the last six look like they deal with our relationship with each other. So when I look at these, it's like in order before we can know how to deal with each other properly, we need to have our relationship with God first. So in order for me to know how to treat you, first of all, I need to have God first in my life, following him, being obedient to him, and then I know how to deal with you as my fellow man. So first, our relationship has to go vertical with God, then it goes horizontal with, you know, each other. It's sort of like the cross, you know, vertical and horizontal. And, you know, that's what Jesus represents. He represents our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. And when we look at them, they don't seem hard. But I think, you know, from time to time during the week or during the day, we have a tendency to fall down on it. So let's look at this the 20th chapter, and we want to look at these Ten Commandments. You can find the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. In verse 1, you read down to verse 3, it says, I am the Lord thy God. Egypt out of the house. Thou shalt have no other God. The first thing,
number one. But it's interesting that that's number one. But before, folks, number one, reminded me, I'm the one
who took it. I'm the one who took it.
This one over there. That one over there,
right.
That over there. I brought you. I provided protection. I provided for you. You know what? This can be anybody.
In other words, he said, I saved you. You were in slavery, you were in bondage, and I saved you behind.
Right. So don't even think about
it. It was wonders in the last plague was the death angel that you know, when they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels and those that were covered by that, you know, when the death angel saw the blood, their lives were spared, and it was miraculous right out front. Nothing was hidden, and you would think, because God showed himself mighty in their lives like that, that they wouldn't have any problem serving God. But God, in his infinite wisdom,
knew
that soon as they got out there, Lord have mercy. Sound like us today.
They will forget.
Soon as we get all about how good the Lord has been to us.
Ungrateful.
Lord have mercy. Ungrateful. So you know, when you look at that first commandment, he said, don't put any other God before me. And in my text, that word God before me is a little g. It's not a big G. And what happens is, I think in today's society, we have too many little G's pushing the big G out of the way.
Yes.
And we can look down at verse 3, and he says, you have no other God before me. In other words, there should be nothing that comes before God. So how does it work? Have we gotten so far from this today? So what are some things that we make God?
A job. A car. Some people make their favorite TV shows. Like, you know, I can't go to Bible study on Thursday.
Uh-oh.
My favorite show is coming on.
You're meddling with folks tonight. See, you started it.
The game is coming on Thursday.
Yeah, the game's coming on.
No.
Yeah.
You want me to go to Bible study and learn more about the Lord? No,
right.
Right after I might tune in after.
Well, you know, when you look at this, the first thing is he's saying is saying, don't put anything. I'm God. I brought you out of this. Recognize. Now, my question to you is, on a daily basis, everybody can look at God. Do you even recognize God? I mean, it's like a lot of times we just wake up in the morning and we like, bam, we're going to do what we need to do. Say, like, we got our day mapped out. Do we ever put God on the first thing on the calendar? We got BlackBerry, we got Outlook, we got all kind of, you know, things on our phone that come up of what we have to do. But somewhere on that month or day,
list.
The task list, is there a space on there for God?
There should be, but sometimes our lives get so busy that it's not. But it should be the first thing.
And when we look in Deuteronomy really brings it home. Look at Deuteronomy chapter. And, you know, this is where Moses is getting the of the law before Joshua. And he breaks it down and he tries to say there's some key ways that we can put God first. So if we go to Deuteronomy 6 chapter verse 4, It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So, you know, a lot of times this is what Jesus quoted as being, you know, one of the greatest commandments, is to love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In other words, there should be, we should be putting, you know, everything that we have geared towards, you know, our relationship. Everything that we have, we owe to God. And if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have a BlackBerry with Outlook and a calendar and a task on it. If it wasn't for God, now I want to preach. Now I'm gonna leave that to Rev Gregory. I'm gonna let him preach. I'm not gonna preach tonight. But it would seem like that somewhere along the line that we should really start putting God first, because in order to love somebody with your heart, your mind, and your soul, that means you're putting everything into it. But it seems like God gets a few minutes here, a few minutes there, and that's about it.
So, that's why do people not put God
first? That's itself. And Sheila G, when you look at that thing, it's like, because God is so loving and he's so kind, and he doesn't beat our butt right. We just prolong that thing.
Right. But when we get in trouble, that's when we're like, Lord, where are you? Or Lord, why did you allow me to get in? Lord, why didn't you tell me that something was not good? Why is it me? Why?
Whoa. Blame everybody else.
Instead of looking in the mirror and saying that, you know what, I'm not as committed to God as I should have been.
Ooh.
If I had been more committed, I would have listened to him.
Ooh.
Had I listened to him, I wouldn't be in it.
Ooh. In other words, we wouldn't blame God like Adam and Eve.
Hello.
But what makes us get to that point? Is it the attraction of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life?
Yeah.
That everything else seems more important to God except when we're in trouble.
Right.
But when we're in
Hello?
Trouble, you know, that's when we're in it all the time.
Right.
When we're in trouble, that's when we're in Bible study all the time. When
right.
we're in trouble, that's when we're in prayer service all the time. When we're in trouble, that's when we're in church. But as soon as things level out, smooth out,
yeah.
It's like, I got this now. I'm going back out here and do my thing. I thank you very much. He's like the jack in the box, you know, when I need him. There he is. But once I finish with him, I put him back down in there.
Right. I know someone whose parent was dying. While that parent was dying, once the parent passed, they got past the pain of watching that.
It's good enough for what I need.
Good enough to comfort me while I'm going. Now that I'm going. We're able to. Now that I've gotten past, now, Lord, I don't need you anymore. Let me put you on the shelf, and I'll dust you back off when I need you.
Oh, we got a caller. Hello, caller. You on the air?
I wanted to comment about why we should be in order. And for one, God wants us in order. And he wants us in order because if we're not in order, then we're in our own finite mind way of doing things. And that is totally out of order. Because
Amen.
if we're in our finite mind, then our actions or our words are against God. And by him telling us that we are to have no other God before him, he's letting
That's
us
right.
know right there, stay in order. As long
That's
as
right.
I am your God, you'll be in order. And your life, our lives, will be in order. And God is an order. He is a God of order and decency. And so as we are in order, we're doing things in a decent manner. And we're doing things according to God's will. So, I believe that is very important that we are in order and we stay in order. Because getting out of order, we're in sin. So we're automatically an abomination against him.
That's good. Powerful message. Thank you for your comment. Thank you. That was a powerful comment.
Yes.
When you think about why he had that one first, have no other God before. Love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Because, like you said, in order, you can't do anything else without God.
That's right.
We can't even breathe without God.
That's right.
It's his world. You know, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So, when we look, tell us how we should be in all day long about developing our relationship with God.
Right.
And we talked about how do we be. Six. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, to talk about them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest." In other words, God said that we should make God a part of our all-day conversation. When we get up, walking during the day, when we're home, when we're lying down, and when we rise up. In other words, everything that we do, we can relate to the goodness of God. So it should be God should be like an ordinary conversation that we have every day. But it seems like we talk about everything else. This fella that plays for the Redskins now,
RG3.
Everybody and their brother talking about RG3, the fella that plays for the Cowboys, Dez Bryant. Everybody and their brother talking about Dez Bryant. He out for the year, he's going to play. But can you imagine if God got that kind of play?
Huh? In the media?
Can you imagine that?
That would be awesome.
But
the devil would have to run.
But people say, well, God doesn't bring excitement like RG3. God doesn't bring excitement like Dez Bryant.
But if somebody says that, that's because they don't. It's just like being in a relationship. I'm in a relationship with my husband. It's just not exciting.
Yeah.
Are you interacting?
Are you interacting?
Are you interacting?
Are you developing?
Are you walking in the house? You go one direction, I go in the other direction.
Right.
So we're
right.
Not developing that relationship. But if you develop that true relationship with him, you are walking.
Right.
You are walking down the aisle, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your car, whether it's in the grocery store.
Exactly.
You know, you'll see something, you'll think something, and it'll just pop in your head that the Lord is there, right there with you, just like best friend.
Right. And that's the thing that God is saying. I'm not this far out of reach, God, but I'm a God that's right here present with you all the time. And even in the Old Testament, his presence was there like a pillar of fire at night, a pillar of cloud during the day. His presence was right there with us. And we as born again Christians, that we have the presence of God in us right now, present all the time. And that's how we can have that relationship. But it just seems like that we are the ones that leave the relationship. I've been in a relationship where one person says, "I want to be with that person anymore," the person leaves. It's like we're the ones that always keep cheating on God. We keep stepping out on God on the next hottest thing, the next hottest quarterback, or the next hottest TV program. Oh, that's
right.
My
that's
show. That's
my show.
Reality TV show. This is the final episode. I'm going to watch this. Or, you know, this Thursday night football. Or you know, politics programs or movies or, you know, the Hallmark Channel or this is the latest Madea or this is the latest Tyler Perry, you know. But somewhere along the line, we keep putting God and saying, God, you're not as important, you're not as exciting as these other things.
And that's because we tend to put God in a box. We tend to say God is there for us. Now, yes, he is. But he's also there just for general conversation. He can make you laugh.
Yeah.
He can make you do something that's kind of funny or kind of strange that's going on within you. And he'll just make you laugh and give you joy. And or you can just sit in there and watching your family,
yeah,
watching your church, watching,
yeah,
what he's doing. And then you can say, okay, Lord, this is making me happy.
Right.
So it doesn't always have to be, Lord, I got a...
Right.
It can be, Lord, I truly thank you because I had a good day today.
Right.
It can be, Lord, you know what? I'm looking at that situation and I'm glad it's not me.
I know that's right.
That is not me. I'm just thankful.
If you drama free.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's the thing is God knows what's best for us. That's one of the hardest things really getting to know that God knows roll up on it. He knows it and he knows what's best for us, and he knows what's best for us. We continue to put him first, trust him like that, and he'll guide us through those things. But we won't keep it first. Brings us to second commandment. We go back to Exodus, the second commandment. We pick that up in verse 4. When you go back to Exodus 20, verse 4, it says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee graven image any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that it is in the water underneath the earth." And this is what cracks me up. Is that man will make, now, this is what they did in this time. They took gold, put it together. They melted it down, put it together with their own hands, and worshiped it. Now, how in the world is the creator going to worship the creation? You understand what I'm saying? That's we use the word in the 70s called flicked.
Yeah.
That's just flicked. Tell her how old I am.
I know.
That's just flicked. How in the world you gonna make it? You gonna form it? You gonna mold it? And then it's gonna have power to help you when you're the one that made it. It's just
you're
ridiculous.
The creator,
right?
And you're gonna worship.
And what we have done is we have made ourselves the creator. And everything else is comes below, even God. So in other words, we're making graven images out of things that we're making instead of worshiping God who made everything. So God is saying, how in the world are we craving, making idols, all these conditions we have, or all this, luck of this, and I gotta wear, I gotta have this. Have all these little trinkets, and I gotta have all these little dolls and statues and all of this. And you know, Paul, he made a joke, and I forget what book it was. He said, you know, I laugh at you because you know you seem so superstitious. You have a god of the unknown god. In other words, you're so careful that there's so many gods that you worship it, that you're scared that you're going to leave one out. So you got a god of the unknown god.
You ain't thought of.
Just to cover everything. Instead of worshiping a true and a
living
god. One god. And that's what Deuteronomy said, the Lord our God is one Lord. And when you look at how many things we make, God. I'm in my car, man. That car took so much of my time. I was so clean. The seat would slide into the car. It was so clean.
Was that the red Cougar?
That was the red Cougar with armor all
and
inside,
always got
outside.
While you were driving.
And it was just, you know, that was, and if somebody, a bird did something to it, I was like, my car. You know what I'm saying?
That's all right. Pastor said he thought he was going to be buried with his first. I stand corrected. His second.
But we can make these things. We can worship these things and make them God. When actuality, they have no power, they have no energy, they have nothing. The word says they're going to get rusty, they're going to get moth eaten, and they're going to pass away.
Okay.
So why go with something that's going to get rusty and mossy and pass away?
Some people make it their house.
House, grass.
Children, that's the thing.
Children.
They don't, but they can get out everything they want and want to why they
ask. So when we make graven images, we can make some serious gods. When you that football god, we got that 8 months out of the year, the United States, we have a football god, and then we have the great worship of the football god come Super Bowl Sunday. we worship the football god.
Yeah.
And these guys are going back and forth with a dead pig. A dead pig just shaped like a watermelon.
Enjoying it. Which there's nothing wrong with enjoying
that.
It's just that you don't put it before God.
Exactly. I've seen people that go to church based upon whether their team is playing.
Yeah.
That if their team is playing, they're going to be at the
game.
They're not going to be at work.
I've known someone that went to church in non-football season, but when it was football season,
and shut it down. We're going to worship that God.
Football season was over.
He
was right back in there.
Yeah. But do we know these? Do people really know these commandments? Let's move on to the third one. When you move to the third one, pick that up in verse 7. Let's move down to verse 7. Let's go in mercy unto thousands of them who love me. And in verse 7, it says, thou shalt not take name of the Lord God's name. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So what does this mean? Take the Lord's name in vain. That just means to frivolously use his name. And a lot of times people just say it, they don't mean it, and they just say it. And it was so sacred, the Lord's name was so sacred during the Old Testament, that they would use another name for God. They wouldn't even call him God. They wouldn't even call him God. They would call him other names other than God, because God's name was so sacred. We God's name all the time. G this, G that.
Oh, my G.
OMG. This GGDG. But, and we use, everybody uses, Jesus.
Not realizing who they call.
Right. And then Christians, we even get carried away with calling Lord. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
That's all we say. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. We're not saying it to have, to
Lord,
talk to Lord have mercy.
Right.
It's just plain for us to say, Lord have mercy.
To make a point.
Right.
Which is not the point. That's not how we speak to God.
Right, not frivolously. And I think sometimes that helps to make God common. Like he's common. Like we don't think before we even say his name. You know what I'm saying? And instead of going to God and saying, our Father in prayer, there's something we just really need to reflect on. Not use a loose thing. God this, Lord this, just like it's a common name. But God says we should reverence his name.
Right.
When we go to him, it's like presence, and we should reverence his name. It's not like, it's sort of like when you're in the presence of royalty, like if you're the president of the President of the United States, you just wouldn't go up to him and say, hey, what's going
what's
on,
that?
Barack?
Or,
Yo, what's up, Buck? We would give the president that respect. Why shouldn't we give God even greater respect?
And, right, sometimes we give people, other people in their name, respect them to God.
And we hear people, oh, Jesus.
And then, say when they use it with a bad word.
Right. And you know, they always use it with a bad word. But, you know, it just seems like the world has gotten so far away from this. They don't even know us. They just use it so somebody else is using it. It sounds good.
Right.
It's sort of like, I guess about 10 years ago, people started wearing jewelry. And people were wearing cross.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they were, you know, concerned about the cross of Christ. It was just they looked good. You know, and all these artists, these singing artists, painters, everybody had a cross. You know, but, you know, a lot of them, the majority of them, it was just jewelry. It was just something to wear, like the latest pair of Jordans or the, you know, the latest Adidas or North Face jacket. It was a fashion statement. And so you really have to start saying, I need to be mindful of God. That's why it's good to go back and read the Bible on a regular basis. Say, God, I've been taking your name in vain too much. I really haven't been reverent to you much. You know, when I come into your sanctuary, I just act like it's a place on the street. But, you know, when I come into your presence, I just act like, you know, I can just pop in there, come in there. You know, you my dog, you know, you my boy. You know, there's no reverence there. There's no awe of what it takes for God to allow us to come into his presence. Because if he gave it, blasted it to us, you know, they couldn't, when he gave these commandments, they all moved back when he gave the commandment. He was like, no, we can't, Moses, you speak, don't let God speak to us, this is too much for us. If God was to blast us like that, we'd all be trembling with diarrhea, couldn't even control our bowels. What's wrong with these Tristan? God spoke to him.
God, like, didn't think I could do that. Didn't
think I could do it. Just lose control of everything. Oh, Lord.
And we would bow down. And, you know, that's very true as far as the reverence goes. That's one thing that we're trying to teach our children is that when scripture is being read in church,
yeah,
you know, stop. Because that's God's word.
Right.
No walking around. Someone's praying. Stop. Because that's giving reverence to God. That's communicating with the Lord. Lord, he's just that powerful.
Absolutely.
That we want to give him that reverence.
Absolutely.
And that's something that we should actually at a very, very age. To not take it granted that the Bible by the reading the book.
Right.
You're reading God's book.
Word, exactly. And that reminds me of when we lived overseas in Germany and then got dust and they were taking out a flag. They were playing fast. That, you know, we were taught, everybody on the military base, why they were playing that. Everybody stopped where they were.
Stop right there.
In reverence to you know, the fallen soldiers that gave us this liberty.
Right.
And we would stop, whether we playing softball, basketball, baseball, football, whatever, wherever we were when on that military base, when they played that, everybody just stopped. And a lot of people put their hand over their heart, took their hats off.
Military guys took their hats. In the military.
Right. And it was just a reverence thing.
Right.
But somewhere along the line we just take the Lord's man and we take it in vain. Now, how often do we go back to the Ten Commandments? You have people now who are we a New Testament? We don't need to study the Old Testament, we're a New Testament. All of that was wrapped up in those two commandments. We don't need to deal with that anymore. But, you know, when you look at taking the Lord's pain, I don't care what that's in.
Right.
God's name should be reverent. To the point that we don't take it as vain. When we walk into our sanctuary, we don't take them as just a place to go have a good time.
Right.
But it's a place where God's presence is, where God's going to meet us. So we realize this is a holy place. It's a privilege to come in. It's an honor to be able to come in here. That we aren't, you know, so holy and so clean that, you know, you think we just march up in here, but if God is allowing us to come into the ocean, that's the mindset I think, you know, we're losing. I know the feeling.
Don't do the thing.
excellent, honest. Yes. God creates something really needs to be revived. Not from bowing down by healthy children. For I, the Lord thy God, jealous.
There you go.
And you forget, because God is a jealous God, we're putting all of these things before him, taking things out of context. Every God that we ought to be, which is honoring, lifting up, respecting, chief God.
My goodness.
Don't want it. And so we're living day in everything else born forth. God is created. Man, that's why we do this.
Exactly.
To remind us that it was God that created from the very beginning.
Amen.
But you hear folk, and I scratch my head when they say that. We're a New Testament church.
It makes no sense. It's like taking half the Bible.
Yeah, we're New Testament, but we need to go back and review what happened to get us to the New Testament.
Right.
So we can understand the New Testament a little bit better.
Right.
I'm going to leave that alone.
And understand the whole
story. But that's an excellent point, Dr. Gregory, that he's a jealous God. Everybody knows what it means to be jealous. If you ever had a boogum snuggle, and you supposed to be the number one in their eye.
Unless somebody's text.
And somebody does a little flirting with them and giggle. You don't laugh and giggle like that with me. So that jealousy is like, I want that laugh and that giggle. That's the thing God wants. God wants all of our laughs, all of our giggle, all of our love and adoration. That's what he wants. And he deserves it.
He created it.
He deserves it.
He wants to be first. He should be first.
Yes.
He wants to be the only one. He should be. Because
yes.
He's the only one that created us. Without him.
Goes back to that order. He's got an order. He doesn't mind you having relationships. And he wants those relationships to be proper. But you got to have a relationship with him in order to be able to deal with these other relationships.
Which is why it's important to allow him to be
your Uh-oh. Don't meddle in again. Oh my goodness.
He should be the one who your mate is.
But he's so
number
fine.
One. But he's number one, and he knows
but
who
she looks
will
so good.
Be best.
But she says she loves me.
Oh,
yeah,
but. But God knows who is best for you. Because he wants you to be with someone so that you can be as one, and then he wants that unit of one to worship.
But there's nobody out there for me.
All the excuses.
But that jealous God is only going to put up with cheating for so long.
That's
it. Mm-hmm. So let's go down to verse 8. And when we look at verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath. Keep it whole. I think half the world and threw this one out the window.
Does that mean I can't wash my car when I'm supposed to be at church on Sunday? But it was dirty.
Remember the Sabbath.
But the Redskins game comes on at 1, and church isn't going to be over till 1:30.
To keep it holy.
That's the only day I can get to do my grocery shopping.
Be legit.
And laundry. And clean my house.
Remember the Sabbath. And the reason why he gave it, look at verse 9. He says, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do any work. Thou nor the son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger. That is within thy gate. And he gives a reason in verse 11. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested. the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, hallowed. So God just didn't give us this because he just wanted to be restricted. He says that left to our own vices, and I'm guilty of this, I'm sure everybody else is guilty of it too, you'll work yourself to death.
True.
And won't even think about God.
True.
But they said God did all this with the sea and the heaven and the earth and everything else in 6 days and rested. Why do we think we got to burn the candle, Lord have mercy, on both ends in the middle? Out somebody, I'm talking to somebody tonight. You figure you got to burn the candle on both ends and in the middle. You got to go, 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 go. God does not fit into your schedule.
That's right.
And that you are superwoman or superman, and that you need to go, go, go all the time. Whatever happened to the times where on the weekend the family used to get stuff together prepared Saturday night. Cooked on Saturday night, got the clothes ready on Saturday night, and polished the shoes on Saturday night, got the suit ready and everything, did all that on Saturday night. So when Sunday comes, I know I'm stepping on somebody's toes now. You're not in the closet. What am I going to wear? Got 10 things on the bed. What shoes I'm going to wear, what tie I'm going to wear, what skirt I'm going to wear. I got to stop by the Kmart because the Kmart's open. The Walmart's open. Got to run by McDonald's to get some breakfast. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody. Got to see what I can get from the Giant. See if the Popeye's going to have my order ready. I'm calling my order ready on my text message while I'm in church. Looking through the sales paper where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Run the Mills. I'm going to go down to Charlestown. I'm going to do all these things. Got all these plans for Sunday. I'm going to slip into church for about 20 minutes. Pay my tithe.
Yes, I do that.
That's another day. We're going to talk about that another day. And in all of these things, God said, hold up, wait a minute. I did the whole world 6 days and sat down on the seventh day and rested. You tell me you can't do what you need to do in 6 days. And then come and spend time with me.
You know, you've lost that. Real relationships. Spend time together. Honor each other. All of those things in certain ways. But when it comes God, he's always put on the back. And he'll take that seventh day, catch up on everything else, except for giving God some time. I mean, and the Bible says, sanctify, that
yes.
You ought to be holy. Set it aside, it's been set aside by God himself. This was a command that he said, 6 days
like
you
that.
Will work.
I like that.
But
like
on
that.
The seventh day, that day you take it to rest, but also to honor me. So that somewhere in there,
somewhere,
we ought to be giving God some time. Because he knows you're not going to do it the rest of the 6 days. Ooh, that's just not us.
Ooh.
Got everything else going on, we just not going to do it.
But we got a sale. He is just having a sale for the first 100 people. And that's just going, you know, I got to get my flat screen. I get my comforters for my bed, new pillowcases, they on sale. I got to go to Sears first.
Well, I remember Pastor and I were first married, and we were going to church, and we had those back one day on the way to church. How many people were out there washing their cars? And I looked at them. I said, now see, if they can get up that early to go out there and wash their cars, why can't they go out there and go give the Lord some time and then wash it?
Not important. It's not a priority. I got to look
amazing.
Good in the street.
It was amazing how many people we saw out there watching.
But you know, there was a time that this country, they had the blue law.
Yeah, nothing
where,
was open.
Where nothing was open,
mm-hmm.
and people reverenced God, black and white folks.
Right.
But now it's about that almighty Lord. If we can open 7 days, we can make more money.
Right.
But, uh-oh.
On the bill itself, it says, "In God we trust."
Right.
So folks are going to take the Lord's Day, try to make it trust in God. There's nothing wrong with that lie.
Yeah, there's something definitely wrong with that logic. That type of logic. With them or not, they got a little publicity during this recent election. Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A is opening up stores. And I know the one where we live, sometimes it's wrapped around the store twice. My daughter works there, and they close on Sunday. But them jokers make a whole lot of money. And they give money to
charity.
And to give their employees Sunday off. So it's the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
So I don't think these companies would go out of business if they weren't open on that. I think we would have more people in houses of worship, worshiping God, hallowing God, if the sales savers didn't come out for you to go shopping on Sunday.
That's right.
Sales off. What will happen if Popeye shut down on Sunday?
Ouch.
If McDonald's shut down on Sunday. If KFC shut down on Sunday. Somebody would have to go shopping on Saturday.
But you know, you see all those church folks dressed up as church and Popeye.
Myself included. That's what I'm saying. So you were supposed to go to the grocery store on Saturday. And you're supposed to get that yard bird together on Saturday. So come Sunday, you would be able to enjoy your meal.
So the Popeye's employees.
And the Popeye's employees would be at home.
Or going to church and serving the Lord.
Lord have mercy. See, I'm getting in trouble now, Dr. Gray. I'm getting in trouble. And so them old school preachers, that's an old school preacher. They talking about commerce, the commerce of the United States would go down. We're going through a deep recession because all the Popeyes, Wendy's, McDonald's would close down
on
Sunday.
Sunday.
We would have a economy shut down. But suppose God shut us down.
Well, hello, Sandy.
Suppose God shut us down.
Hurricane that came through, Popeyes, all of them were closed.
Underwater.
Underwater.
Even the casinos.
That's right. Shut down. God said, take a step back and listen to me. Know that I am.
Oh, my goodness. But do we really understand that God said this is hallowed to him? I don't think we understand that.
Exactly.
I don't think we come up with all kinds of excuses. And I think more people get sick on Sunday morning.
Yes.
That one is so true. More folks get sick on Sunday, but they're well on Monday. Kids who go to school on Monday, folks go back to work on Monday. But Sunday, they sick. Come on. And we're supposed to, then they want us to pray for them. Keep us in prayer. Leave it alone.
I had a case where someone was sick, they called in. And then we went out to lunch afterwards. And the sick person was the same lunch place we was at.
See? God didn't like ugly.
Well, they got healed, though. They got healed.
They said, Pastor, thank you for your prayers.
between 11 and 3, they got healed.
They said, thank you. That prayer that you prayed for me during service, it worked. Made my appetite come back.
And they had to act like they didn't even see
of
me.
Of course.
I know I'm getting in trouble tonight. I know I'm getting in trouble. It's the truth, y'all.
Yes, it's the truth.
But seriously, it's like, if this is holy to God, you know, we should get to the point where this is on our radar. It's on our radar all week long, leading up to this Sunday. It's leading up to it, and the reason why it's Sunday and not Saturday, you get into the argument. That's the day that the Lord wrote. We can get into that later on, but there's a day, and some people, if it was Wednesday, they would.
Sure, it wouldn't matter what day.
We're not even gonna
not
get into
the
can
week.
Of worms,
right?
But it says that he did it, and I think a lot of times we stress ourselves unnecessarily, we get ourselves in trouble, sick, because we're trying to do too much instead of taking the time to rest, okay. Do what we can during these 6 days, and rest.
It's rest and refuel. To me, that Sunday, not only are you resting, but you're refueling. You're refueling because you're allowing that Holy Spirit to feed your spirit, to get you ready for Monday. If you're feeling bad, that's the best time to come out.
Right.
So that not only are you resting your body, it's out of that same stressful mode that
right.
during the week,
right.
but you're refueling your spirit. You're touching your Holy. The Holy Spirit is just filled up, preparing you to go out for the rest.
What I think is the problem, Sheila G, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think we have too much Saturday night. I think we have too much Saturday night. I think we're staying up too late on Saturday that we got to recover on Sunday. It's like we work all week on Monday through Friday, and Saturday we're going to let our head down. We're going to get our freak on. Can I say that on the radio? We're going to get our freak on Saturday and then try to recover on Sunday. Then we can go to work on Monday. Dr. Gregory.
And see, that's part that, one of my best things out of it. They do. Now, when I was younger, I would go out Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference was on Sunday morning, I was up in the church.
No matter what.
Didn't matter. But came home, then I rested, and I got ready for Monday.
That's right.
And what we fail to realize is that when God created our bodies and the whole thing, He did it in such a way that at some point we got to rest.
Somewhere along the line.
Spirit
exactly.
Has got to be received. We've got to feed the body, but we've got to give we've got to stress. We leave the job. I tell folks, leave the job at the job. Don't
right.
bring it home with
right.
you.
Right.
And when you do that, okay, yes, you can go out, you can express yourself, you can have a little bit of. But you got to keep God in its proper place. And that's something that we just don't seem to get. We want to, as you said, we want to party all night Saturday, come in late, and we're too tired to give God any time. We sleeping during his time.
When suddenly we got a cold and we got the sniffles and we can't get up.
Uh-oh. Now you messing with folks. Meddling with folks.
I got a headache. I can't get crazy.
Come here. You messing with folks. But it's the truth.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
And
set you free.
I couldn't tell you the truth if I had experienced the truth myself.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about what I don't
know.
I
already know.
I've been there. I've done that. I got the T-shirt, the hat, the backpack, the MP3 player, the Blu-ray DVD. I got it all. And God is not stupid.
No.
You can call and fool Pastor Gregory. You can call and fool Pastor K-Slide. But there's one person you're not going to fool. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. God knows your heart. People say, God
knows
my
heart.
You better be careful.
He knows it.
But that's what's going on with this following God. We should get into a mindset of going back, checking out these Ten Commandments, even if we know them. Challenge your neighbor. Challenge your one of your you know, your friends. You know the Ten Commandments. Our kids, they know every R&B, hip-hop song on the radio. And know them words backwards and forwards. We know every entertainer. Know every favorite show. We know who's the latest. We know who's got the latest tattoo. What's the latest tattoo parlor, the latest piercing parlor. Oh, I'm getting myself in trouble again. Lord have mercy. And all this, we know all that. Who does the best art? Who does the best piercing? Who does, who's the cheapest? This, that, that. You know everything, but ask them about the Ten Commandments.
Wow. Everyone.
And even the adults on the job, we know our jobs backwards and forwards. We know about the stock market. We know about this. We know about
401k.
401k. We know about politics. We know about cars. We know about airplanes. We know our jobs back. We are professional.
Mm-hmm. But do you keep the
Do you know the commandments? Do you try to keep it?
What do you want to know?
Let something happen on that job. Let something happen to the 401k. Mm-hmm. Let something happen with that piercing or that tattoo that you get infected or irritated and you're hurting and you're in pain or the job is gone or the stock market crashes.
Mm-hmm.
And who you going to call? Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Call the name.
Call his name in vain.
Because it's in vain because you don't know him.
Help me. Help me.
You call and you don't know him. And you are calling him.
So to wrap it up, you know, it's not a thing where, you know, we know that we're all going to fall short. Yes, we're living under grace now. Oh. But, you know, he just wrapped it up. Where Jesus wrapped it all up. Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Verse 38 says,
amen.
Second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He sums it all up. He says, on these two commandments. Now, Jesus can talk about commandments.
Right. In the New Testament?
I'm sure we can.
Right.
Pastor Gregory would say, am I right? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So in other words, they're not obsolete. Loving God and loving your neighbor are these two great commandments that cover everything else. If you have the proper relationship with God, can have the proper relationship with your neighbor, which encompasses all these other commandments. That's what's key. That's what's key. But you gotta have a relationship with God. You gotta love Him, and you gotta learn to love each other in spite of each other. And God will with His grace talk about last week. He'll begin to start working things out over you with your life, but you gotta seek Him first. Righteousness. And then all these other things. I hope we covered some commandments. I hope we kind of jogged some people's minds. If you got steps on your toes, just stay out. And, you know, tell the Lord you'll do better. you know, but we're just trying to, you know, keep it real, trying to keep, you know, people really, you know, understanding how important God's word is. And go back and look at some of those things. That's the way a lot of times the church got back on track. Is they went back and looked at the word and say, wow, how far have we gotten away from the word?
Right.
And if we realized that when we were in the word, how better off we were. And that's a constant thing that we had to do. Go back to the word. That's why we're in Bible study. That's why we're in worship. That's why we're in prayer. Because the word is what gives us that order that will keep us on track, because we are God's creation. We're in His order. We're not out of order. God is a God of order, and it's important to know the word so we can do.
I agree with that. And it's mainly like the first two, as Jesus stated in the New Testament, all the rest will fall in order. Keep Him first, if you put it in God's before Him, the rest will fall in order. If we make time, if we keep him first, we're going to make time. Keep him first, we aren't going to do the things against God. We keep him first, we'll have that relationship with him.
All right. Steelers G, you want to close us out in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to come and expound on your word, Lord. I think it's nothing to do with your son, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would take this word that you have given us, that we will digest it, Lord, allow it to manifest itself within us, and let it live, let our lives be an example through your word. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank everyone for listening. Have a good night, and we'll see you next Thursday night. God bless.
Bless.